noticed those rather disturbing research findings released last week that were pretty conclusive about racial and ethnic discrimination in parts of the Australian job market. The researchers involved sent out over 4,000 fictional resumes to employers in response to job advertisements, and they found significant differences in callback rates for those with Anglo-Saxon surnames as opposed to those with non-Anglo names. The researchers concluded that people from ethnic minorities would have to apply for far more jobs, 68% more if you were Chinese, than their Anglo-Saxon counterparts. And I might add, these were at waitstaff, customer service, entry-level jobs in sales. Well, my next guest, my last guest today, probably wouldn't find these results surprising. She's a performer, writer and trainer of young actors, and she's passionate about the need for Australia's dramatic arts, be they TV soaps or theatre productions, to better reflect our cultural diversity. Candy Bowers is also the winner of a coveted prize, the British Council's Realise Your Dream Award. This annual award is designed to help young Australians further their creative careers by offering them the opportunity to work with industry leaders in the UK. And Candy believes the performing arts in countries like the UK are frankly better at reflecting community diversity than our own. So before she heads to London, welcome now Candy Bowers to Saturday Extra. Good morning.
Good morning.
Candy, your parents are from South Africa, aren't they?
Yes.
And you have a rich mix of Asian and African heritage. And from what I've read, you really came to see that your opportunities in Australia might be limited when you first began to train at NIDA. Do you think these limits are about the colour of your skin?
Absolutely. I mean, it's something that I grew up not wanting to believe. And I've recently just worked on a solo show that was quite autobiographical, so I really got down to the roots of it, and I spoke to my parents in detail and about coming to Australia and all that kind of thing. And I started to realise that, as I guess migrant offspring, as somebody who is first generation Australian, you really don't want to believe that the country that you're in would discriminate against you, even though, you know, you're the most talented in your class, you get into the top school or what have you. And as kind of time has gone on, and I guess I've been out in the industry for 10 years now, I started to realise that I was either being shut out completely or I was the only one. Like, for example, on a huge bill for a big comedy fundraiser or something like that, I would look around and be one of maybe five women on a bill of 30, you know, acts. And of course, the only person of colour. Mm. And that started to really interest me. Like, even in my success, I could see that I was the only one there.
I gather somebody at NIDA warned you that you'd never get to play Ophelia because of the colour of your skin.
Yeah.
That's pretty, yeah. I might say to you, and this is terrible, well, of course, you chose the wrong profession,
sure.
which says a lot about an intuitive response. Are you convinced that the world of representation of some of the sort of real images of our culture can be inhabited by people who don't necessarily spring from the history?
Yeah, definitely. I think that what's really interesting for me is that I never questioned my instinct to want to perform or for my love of Shakespeare or anything like that until kind of I hit NIDA and then hit the bigger industry.
And your parents never said to you, oh, gee, I don't know about this?
They sure did. Like, I mean, anomaly is an understatement for me. And when I look at the young people I'm working with out west right now, I look at all of them and I go, I'm looking at myself. It's really interesting. I think whatever happens, you know, whether it's the BARD or whether it's, you know, watching TV or going and seeing an amazing musical, even I saw Chicago the other night and I was saying to a friend, oh, you know, Usher was the first African-American to play the role of Billy Flynn. Isn't that exciting, you know? And I thought, why in the hearts of people sitting in the audience seats and in young people, all of those dreams are there. Even if they don't see themselves like reflected directly, they're still dreaming, and I was still dreaming. And I think, I guess what's really interesting is we think we live in a democratic society where, you know, if you're really good at what you do, you'll get work. I think that people just kind of believe that. I mean, if I got into this top uni to do medicine, I would be earning quite a lot of money as a doctor right now.
Look, I'm just sort of going to put myself on the line here. You couldn't imagine white people playing Porgy and Bess, for instance.
Yeah.
This is the complexity of it. So it is a sort of a slow change in insight and impression, isn't it? If, say, a person of colour is to play someone like Ophelia.
Well, it's pretty interesting because, of course, in my travels as an artist, I've been to Edinburgh Festival and to New York, and you see that all the time.
Do you?
Yeah, I left Chicago with a crucible going on where John Proctor was African American, Mary Warren was Asian American. And I guess what happens is, by the palate or even the sight of the audience, just growing to understand that we're about to take an
imaginative
journey.
So to become colourblind, genuinely colourblind.
Well, I mean, it's interesting, the concept of colourblind, because I think that what we see is really important. We're in such a visual culture. It's actually accepting that could be a different person, a different looking person. For me, my favourite companies are the ones that are, you know, pioneer inclusivity, and you all of a sudden get transported into a story. I mean, we wouldn't have some of the most amazing actors that we have on screen, actually, particularly US and English actors, from Forrest Whitaker to Don Cheadle or these guys.
Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, they wouldn't exist. They couldn't have been born in Australia. And I think that is an absolute tragedy and terrible thing to be in a country where we are capping and excluding and chopping down young people.
I must say, they're minorities. That whole preference for minorities, you know, the way they've cast people in, say, a lot of the, you know, the CSIs and so on, and the NYPDs, it really has changed things, hasn't it?
Like
20 years on, when you sit back, it's a profound difference.
Yeah, and in the interviews, one of them I did with Lee Lewis for my show, she talked about the Public Theatre in New York and Joseph Papp saying he wanted what was happening on stage to reflect New York City. Now, a lot of those actors we see on those shows come from New York, come from that tradition of being able to go and see a Romeo and Juliet with African-American artists in it, or Chinese-American or Latino-American, because that reflected the city. Now, what I firmly see here is that what's happening on stage and on screen is not reflecting our cities, is not reflecting the huge migration that's occurred in Australia, that we're not quite a creative city yet, because we will happily watch diversely cast shows that come during Sydney Festival time or, you know, Adelaide Festival, Brisbane Festival time, and we'll happily see that. But we're not ready yet to embrace people from our culture doing the same thing. Same with comedy. Happy to embrace an African English, like a black person with an English accent or an American accent. But as soon as we have like an Islamic...
You get into the high culture.
Or, Indian comic from Australia that's about to say something that reflects on Australian culture, we seize up and we say we can't handle that.
So let's go to what you're going to do with your Realise Your Dream Award. Why did you pick the Battersea Arts Centre as the place to spend time? What's happening there that is different to Australia?
The New Blood Festival's happening there while I'm there, which is a really exciting thing to be at and a part of, similar to a lot of the festivals around the world that take place. But this one's really looking at emerging artists, young people writing in new and hybrid works and contexts, which I'm really interested in, physical theatre, merging hip-hop and Shakespeare, which I'm doing with Belle Shakespeare at the moment. Things like that are going on. Also, a lot of the young artists and the people that are running the space are come from really diverse backgrounds. And that was my main thing for doing this British Council of the Arts Award. I was reading some of their writings about interculturalism in the 21st century, making creative cities, the cultural diversity in the arts, the value of cultural diversity in the arts. And I started to realise that they were so far ahead than Australia. Battersea Arts Centre, the Royal Court, Contact Youth Theatre in Manchester, these were all places that I'd seen work or heard people speak about. And I was like, I need to be there. I need to be inside of it. So
maybe this is the really radical edge of theatre, casting, not
sure.
Just the... Yes. And, I mean, what about... Could you not get the similar depth of mentoring in Australia? Is there no one who wants to do this here?
It's not that there's nobody that wants to. I think that we're not in a culture of it, and there's not a culture of success of cultural diversity here in the arts. I think there are extraordinary leaders, like particularly Indigenous leaders, Wesley Enoch, Leah Purcell, out there doing extraordinary things. A part of me really wanted to work with the African community. I started doing that in my arts practice, working with young Sudanese artists from emerging communities that have just come over and that kind of thing, Sierra Leone. And I just decided that I also wanted to see what was going on from that African migration that's occurred. And in that way, I don't actually have one person who I can think of that could mentor me.
It's interesting that opera's made this move. You know, opera really casts quite demandingly at times.
Yeah.
So why haven't the wider performing arts?
It's pretty interesting, I think. Opera has done it, dance has done it.
Orchestral music has done it.
Absolutely. And when it comes to that thing of actually having to put a curtain up and not being able to be prejudiced as, you know, a person's last name or what the colour of their skin is, their voice, how they are, expressing themselves, the level of expression. If you were to do that even with acting, I think that we would have completely different casting choices. At the moment, I really believe, particularly in regard to theatre and our small screen, we are caught up in a concept and an aesthetic of what is can be put on TV. Not always beautiful. We have our chubby redheaded guys or white blonde, you know, like that's okay, but not to quite a large extent, just different looking people. We're not there yet, but It's strange because we watch The Bill. It's a huge rating show. We watch Grey's Anatomy. We're happy if that person has an accent, but when it's an Aussie, a person of colour who's an Aussie, it's still something that we need to. I think we just need to do it and keep doing it, and just start making it normal.
I agree.
Yeah.
I couldn't agree with you more. Well, look, good luck. I hope you enjoy it immensely over in the UK and that you bring it back here.
Yes, absolutely.
Thanks, Candy.
Thanks a lot.
And applications for the British Council's Realise Your Dream Award that Candy Bowers won will close on July the 3rd, so that's next Friday. So if you're interested, go to www.realiseyourdream.org.au. Five winners will be offered flights to the UK and receive an $8,000 cash passport.